Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table runs one of the most successful breweries in Chicago, Half Acre. Half Acre produces beers like Daisy Cutter, Pony Pills, and, of course, Gone Away, which is the Indian Pale Ale. Half Acre has been in existence since 2007. They made their name for themselves on Lincoln Avenue, just north of Irving Park, but just recently added another bigger space on Balmoral. Half Acre continues to grow and is one of the most successful independent breweries in town. Joining me tonight to talk beer and beer culture is Half Acre founder Gabriel Magliaro. Gabriel, thanks for being here.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You didn't go to school for beer. People, I mean, your brewmaster,
you
goes
can
to
do
school,
that.
He went to school for yeast, right? But you didn't go to school for beer.
I did not, no. I went to the Schuller Institute here in town, and so I've studied the creative world academically anyway.
How did you get into this business? What drew you to think about starting a brewery?
Well, I've always been involved in the process of making things in general, and I used to, prior to moving to Chicago, I was living in Colorado, and great brewing scene there, certainly an early adapter to craft beer, and I had some exposure to it out there, certainly on the consumer side, but also going inside breweries and, you know, really seeing behind the scenes and guys hanging out, making beer together, making a living, going skiing, you know, a very romantic and an attractive world. So certainly that piqued my interest in coming into Chicago at the time. And this is, you know, I got here in 2001, excuse me. And then when we were thinking about doing this, 2006, 2005, it was a very different time in mm-hmm. Chicago beer. And it seemed so desperately needed. And
were you surprised? I mean, coming to Chicago and seeing that there wasn't a craft beer scene after coming from Colorado?
Yeah, there was Goose Island, of course, here in the city, and you had Floyd's in Indiana, and Two Brothers out in the burbs, and you had some pubs in town. But relative to the scale of this place, it was virtually no beer. So I was surprised, and I didn't, when thinking more deeply about it, I didn't understand why that was. And I have since found out over the years, you know, exactly why that was, but maybe some of that being naive was an asset for me. Well, I'll just give it a spin and try it myself. And
what was the reason why it wasn't here? Was it just because the cost to it, or was there a prohibitive because of the laws, things like that?
All of it. It's just complicated. Certainly in an urban environment, it's expensive to do anything. Making beer is expensive. Real estate is expensive. It wasn't as widely accepted. It was a tough business at that point in time. People weren't thinking about it. The consumption practices were really rooted in what you knew, right? I mean, what kind of beer you drink? I drink Budweiser. So when I go to the store, I get Budweiser. That was very common and understood, and people rallied around their brand. So there wasn't that adventurous spirit behind, at least not nearly right at the level that it is today. So it was, you know, when we started, there were some very rigid conversations when walking into a bar and, you know, have a six-pack of lager bottles at the time, and it would be great if you guys wanted to try this out. And it was like, you know, we don't try things out. It's like we have 10 taps and we have these 10 beers, and that's just the way it is. These are the beers that our consumers drink. So
did you find at the time that Chicago was more traditional in that sense than other towns that you've lived in? Or, I mean, you came from Pennsylvania and the Philadelphia area, but you also lived in Colorado. Was Chicago like, this is how I do it and this is how it will be?
I think so. Yeah, it was certainly very well ingrained what was going on here, and it was certainly a much more distributor-driven business at that point in time.
Right,
very relationship-heavy. This, you know, my bar, I work with this distributor, and maybe a little bit with that distributor, but we don't really entertain other relationships. And things were just set. People, how they drank beers, that, you know, those ideas were set. How bars served it, what they served, everything was just much more concrete, and change wasn't part of the system. Fast forward to today, and new and different is really at the crux of what makes beer today.
For you guys, I mean, you're a big part of it, but what inspired you to move forward? I mean, knowing all those things about Chicago in 2006, when you're like, okay, let's do this, what inspired you to move forward? Who was doing it, and what got you over the hump?
Well, I don't want to misrepresent at that point, I really didn't know. I mean, today, after all these years and being so ingrained in, I have a pretty good picture for myself as to what happened, what was going on then, right, how we got here today.
Not so much then, right?
Yeah, not then. But for me, what has always turned me on about it is really, you know, the process of making something by working with raw materials and by creating something that people are really excited to have. I mean, people love beer. You know, there's people that are deep, deep enthusiasts at this point. Mm-hmm. And there's your, you know, your casual dad beer drinker that just wants to unwind at the end of the day with beer. Typically, beer is, you know, has a very positive place in people's lives. And since we got involved, that was always something that was very apparent, that people just love beer, and they're very interested in those who make it and the process behind it.
You know, Half Acre is not just about beer. I mean, obviously the what you produce is different, and it has been one of the leading craft beer establishments here in Chicago. But it's also about culture in the sense that it does have a brand to it. It does have a feel that I don't know how to describe it, but it definitely is independent. Is that how much of that goes into to making beer, is making the branding and the marketing at the same time unique when starting a brewery?
I think it's they are partners. You have to make great beer and be passionate about the process and the liquid that you can create. And you have to be good at it, especially today. The brand side, the culture side, the community, that's equally as important, and something that we also enjoy that side of it, and something that we've always just done naturally. You know, maybe in the very early days, we spent more time thinking about, like, who are we and what should we be? And pretty quickly that just got sort of swept up in an authentic representation of who we really are and, like, what we like and the people we like to hang out with. And as people came in, naturally growing our community of friends, of mm-hmm. fans, and we've sort of just been guided by our own interests. And that has been very successful, because you don't have to think too much about it. It's like, oh, I want to do that. Let's do that.
Do you think that your background at art school helps that? Like that you know, you didn't come from a traditional business background, and you realize that it's just more than the product; it's the experience.
I think so. I mean, I went to art school because I like the creative process, and that was a sincere interest of mine. So in some ways, it's the same thing. You know, that was something I really wanted to do, and I was passionate about, and the sort of brand side of what Half Acre is really that same thing. We're just following our interests, and it's very easy to align Half Acre, actually beer in general, with everything. You know, there's not like, you know, beer goes with pretty much everything. If you can think about food in that way, or, you know, we're really into, you know, we have a cycling team. Like after the race, like guys like to drink a few beers, and it goes well with that. Or an art gallery, like, yeah, we'll help support you guys, you know, at the opening. People are going to have some beers and enjoy that. And you can go down a list and keep on going, and really beer can connect with everything. So it's been very automatic in that way.
Half Acre, it goes with everything.
It goes with everything, yeah. Beer, it goes with everything, yeah.
Gabriel Magliaro is the founder of Half Acre here in Chicago. Let's take a break. We come back, I want to talk about what you guys are doing on Lincoln Avenue and expanding that to Balmoral with the new place.
Sounds great.
Stay with us.
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why shouldn't it be true? I get a kick out of brew. There's only one beer left.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest, Gabriel Magliaro. He is the founder of Half Acre Brewery here in Chicago. I mean, just a meteoric rise in less than a decade. I mean, Daisy Cutter is it's just known. It's a known beer now. I mean, are you having a tough time getting Daisy Cutter in bars? It can't at this point, right?
No, it's in bars. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much in most of
those
them,
days like, from 2006 of you walking in, and they're like, those days are gone.
Fortunately, yeah, and I think that's about. It's a more merit-based system today, and all those hurdles that we had at that point in time, they really just don't exist anymore. That familiarity, proven track record of success in a bar, you know, we can sort of demonstrate any of that stuff. And people just typically, they know who we are, and really we're not ever really pushing that beer at this point in time. That beer is pretty widely available.
Right?
So, yeah, we don't have to really push at all.
Well, you know, when you guys got the brewery going in 2008 – on Lincoln Avenue, just north of Irving Park, and I guess it's called North Center, right?
It is North Center.
At that time, you know, you're making a big leap to do that. As it's grown, I mean, you've had to keep pace with this beer. And, you know, the palate for Half Acre product for Daisy Cutter is there. People want it. Talk about the challenges of being successful.
Yeah, it can be a challenge at times, and we maybe the most common thing, and with Half Acre and other great breweries out there, sort of it's a good problem to have. Been like this thing that has always bounced back to us, but a problem is a problem, and at times the challenges of inventory issues and maybe a distributor wanting to sell more of something, and our inability to produce more of something, or growing at a rate that it's hard to sort of catch up and to understand the realizations of every sort of increment that you experience. So, yeah, I mean, it, at times that success has been, well, it certainly put a lot of, you know, stress on me personally at times because I was working excessive hours and things like that. And as time goes on, it hasn't relied as much on my personal sweat, which is nice. But yeah, with every bit of success has come another set of challenges and hurdles and all those things that make it possible.
For you guys, I mean, to have a brewery, or like this is an idea, and you collect the capital to start a brewery on Lincoln Avenue, to see it, I don't want to say overnight, but within 3 to 5 years, to see your beer being accepted in that way. You talked about, you know, you like the process of making stuff, but it was not necessarily a business background. Is it tough, you know, when you have that kind of meteoric rise to chart what your long-term future is, you know, without that quote-unquote business background because, you know, it's just all coming at you each way?
Yeah, every sort of level of growth has presented its challenges. I do have a business partner that does have a business background, and so I've been in the fortunate position to learn a lot by myself going out and reading a lot and trying to be a good student of business and going through the things that we're going through. But there have been a lot of people that I've tapped and that have been partners to Half Acre and myself that made these choices a lot more clear and given me a lot of reasons to make the calls that we've made. So, yeah, we've tried to be good students and work real hard and try not to screw up too often.
Well, I mean, a big part, and we have a lot of people from the tech sector that come on the show,
sure.
Business leaders, venture capitalists, those kind of people. And they always talk about risk. And they talk about it from, and a lot of times it's, you know, risk in, you know, business models, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
For you as a brewer and one that's been successful, how important is risk? I mean, to try new things, to try a new batch, to try a new beer?
It's been crucial to everything we've done. So on a business perspective, there's been a lot of risk, financial risk, you know, stepping out there and doing some things that weren't common in our industry out of the gate when we started.
Like events and things like that?
No, not so much that, but for instance, our store on Lincoln Avenue and the tap room, those things, they've become commonplace, but they had never happened before. You know, attaching a retail store to a brewery and navigating that legally, same thing with the tap room. These things were things that hadn't happened. So we sort of have to step out there, put some weight and obviously resources behind them, and hopefully prove to the legal bodies in front of them that we can do this, because it was all just gray area. And we sort of busted through and we reaped the rewards for that in terms of brewing beer, experimentation and trying new things and stepping out into uncomfortable places. That's also been really important and scary, but we've been rewarded for that too.
You know, you look at your website and you look at the seasonal stuff that you guys produce or the one-off stuff that you do. It's a lot. I mean, you guys do put, it's not just like you're just resting on the laurels of Daisy Cutter and maybe the Pony Pills. There seems to be a spirit, a culture, if you will, about experimenting at Half Acre. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. Yeah, that was something that we did. I think today it's almost a requirement, you know, if I'm being honest, because I think that's part of the drinking experience for people. Certainly your bigger craft beer fans, they want a wider portfolio of beers. They want to get deeper into what you're about. So that's just more a part of brewing culture today. But, you know, earlier on and 08 and 09 and 2010, we were brewing a lot of beers and we were kind of putting it out there, and we don't have a process where we brew 5 gallons of something. We're like, oh, that was pretty good or not so good. We go right to about 500 gallons of it. So yeah, there's a little bit of, you know, we're not amateurs and we have a good understanding of what we're doing, certainly at this point and somewhat at that point too. So yeah, you gotta put yourself out there a little bit. And
makes me think, is there a time when you're like, all right, the batch is done, and you're all like, oh no, that didn't work out.
No, we've always been pretty close. I think maybe failure is not the right word, but there are beers that you miss the mark in one way or another, and sort of some level of disappointment. But it's not like dump it. You know, we don't find ourselves in that place.
Well, you know, talking about risk, you guys are moving into. I mean, you have moved to the brewery up in Balmoral, a whole other. I mean, expanded area. I mean, you are really, if not doubling, I don't want to say tripling, but the space is tremendous for you guys. This is a huge time for your business to take it from what has been a very, very successful craft brewery to a, what would you say, a very, 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 very successful craft brewery? Like, what's the next step
for
you guys?
Well, I think, in technical terms, we're going from being, you know, we said just, if you're producing less than 15,000 barrels, they call that a microbrewery.
Okay.
And then more than 15, we refer to as a regional brewery. And we had just sort of crossed that 15,000 barrel mark. And so obviously we're going to be deeper into the regional status. And I know we've basically, you know, doubled the size of our output, you know, pretty quickly here. So yeah, there was some level of risk in building again. I mean, now we have two breweries and all that goes into running two facilities and overlapping of some staff and all those complexities. But there was also risk in not doing it because we were capped. We couldn't make any more beer in
right.
that space. And that sort of caps the trajectory of a lot of things. Our beers, it caps the trajectory of our staff. So we felt this was crucial in our success in building again. And for better or for worse, at that point, we were making a bunch of beer, but we weren't even really selling beer in the suburbs all that much. And I think to be a real powerhouse Chicagoland brewer, like, you got to sell beer the suburbs.
Well, let's take a break because we'll get to the news. And I want to ask you about that. That's, we'll come back and talk about how you place your stuff. Where can you find a half acre? When are you out of your area? You know, because I'm always fascinated by the idea that if I go to Colorado, for instance, and I walk into a liquor store in Fort Collins, I may see half acre, but I see their half acre. You know, I see the Fort Collins based half acre.
Sure.
And it's a very local and it's a very proud business. And so how do you break through with that, especially when you're brewing from somewhere that's not local? We'll talk more with founder Gabriel Magliaro here on the download. He's the founder of Half Acre. Stay with us.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N Barra. B-double-E-double-R-U-N Barra. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and an able driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N Barra.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table, as we call this, the big table.
It's pretty big.
Gabriel Magliaro, he's the founder of Half Acre Brewery here in Chicago. One of the most successful craft brewers here in town. I mean, really, if you think about it, Goose Island's really not a craft beer. I mean, they're not a regional brewer anymore because they're owned. Are they owned by Budweiser or in some form?
They are.
Three Floyds, which is out in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, Two Brothers, out, which is like Aurora, western suburbs. Revolution. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's a huge ecosystem.
Oh, it's gigantic at this point.
But you guys are at the head.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, qualifiers for what that means. But, you know, we're one of the bigger breweries for sure. And, yeah, we like to think we have a solid place within the overall craft beer scene in Chicago for sure.
Let me ask you about that because I really, like, right before the break, we were talking about the idea that, you know, you go to a different state and you go into their liquor store and you go into the craft beer area, you will see everything that it's their half acre, mm-hmm. right? Colorado or Philadelphia or Florida, whatever it is.
Yep.
How do you get past being a Chicago craft beer maker in this country?
I think, you know, in a lot of ways when... For instance, us, which we really only sell beer in Chicagoland, a little bit in Philadelphia because our families are back there. We will be selling a little bit of beer in New York City as well and kind of working those two markets together. And there's a lot of people in those three places, mm-hmm. obviously. So I think when you begin to sell beer somewhere else, you're kind of exporting that place a little bit. I think you become synonymous with when you go to Vinny's or wherever you buy mm-hmm, beer mm-hmm. and you buy a Fat Tire from New Belgium, a little bit you're kind of like investing in Colorado
right,
a little bit, right? I mean that.
And so you really have to be synonymous with Chicago.
Or I think it winds up happening. That could be a good or bad thing depending on what's going on. But so I think a little bit is about exporting where your place. And I think today, you know, I think you have the right ambition because it's very complicated out there right now with all the brewers and a lot of national interest in terms of brewers that are going from mm-hmm. a regional position to a national position, and little guys trying to get to that regional level and all those sort of things. So there's a lot of crossing over and overlapping of breweries right now. So I think you can go to other places, and as long as your hopes are sort of relative to what people really want from you, I think selling beer in other places is good. If you have a need to hit a certain volume that is probably right. not possible.
Well, let me Goose Island's a good example of, they made a deal with Budweiser, and there was, and this was a couple years back, so there was a little bit of, I want to say it wasn't bad press, but there was just like a lot of murmuring, like, oh, the big dogs, you know?
Yeah.
Big beer has a huge presence in Chicago. I mean, Miller Coors is here. These seems to be the birthplace of a lot, Milwaukee and Chicago, of a lot of those big name brand beers.
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with Big Beer, and does Half Acre have to compete with them at some point, or is it completely separate?
Well, I think, Big Beer has a big presence everywhere, and it's never been a hurdle for Half Acre Beer Company, larger macro producers. In the early days, it was more about buying practices and sort of like a distributor relationship issue more than anything else. We've never felt like a direct pressure from a bigger brewer, like mm-hmm. trying to box us out of something, never. And we actually, we share distribution channels with them. I think what's happening today is that they are, the larger producers are feeling a pressure from the success of brewers like us. Certainly the combination of all the brewers like us.
Well, they have to make a decision, right? They have to make a decision of whether or not they produce their own independent, it's almost like music or film, right? When they put their own sort of, slap a label on and say, this is independent, even though it's produced by Budweiser. Or buy you, right? And you're seeing it done in both ways. There was an article not too long ago that circulated about, are big beer companies buying craft beer to get them out of the way?
I don't think to get them out of the way, because they spend a lot of money on them. I think it's more about, of course, to try to capitalize on that growth, but also to control it and to slot it in tastefully next to what they want to do. So I think it's more about a control issue and obviously capitalizing on an obvious trend against what they've been doing for a long time. So I think it's just business, and they have the resources to do it.
Right.
And there's a lot of breweries that are in a position where they need something, because they are getting to a point where they're going to retire. They've been doing this for a long time. Something has to happen in order for them to transition. And sometimes that's attractive, or the path of least resistance, or whatever it might be. So I don't think it's evil, or I just see it as what it is, and this is a natural consequences of where we are as an industry.
Does Half Acre think about that? Think about the idea of big beer coming along, and are you open to the idea of them coming in and saying, we'd like to make you an offer, we would like to buy Half Acre?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that we're considering whatsoever. I'm always interested in the news, right? I mean, it's mind-boggling, really, some of the numbers that are being thrown around today. It's wild, to a point where
like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars,
billion, the billion word is thrown around. So and it's seemingly in an irrational place. So I'm always interested in just the news and learning more about what's going on and all the complexities that continue to pop up. But it is not something that we want for our business or ourselves.
I'm just like you mentioned earlier, and I think that a lot of people will always compare the beers. Say, well, the craft beer is a better taste. It's produced more authentically than the watered down taste of big beer. But going back to what we talked about with culture, it seems like big beer kind of figured out, okay, we're going to be the football beer, or we're going to be the cult sports beer, or whatever it is. Just like you mentioned about, everyone needs a partnering with different institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that Half Acre is a beer that is almost a counterculture beer. It's an independent beer or an independent culture. Do you see it that way? That it's like they follow the same thought that you do.
Yeah,
in the sense that they're
for
selling
the last
culture.
150 years.
Yeah, right.
I think is the difference. I think what it is we're casting different nets, right? And for a brewery like Anheuser-Busch, for instance, or Miller Coors, they're casting a really, really wide net. And sometimes the only way that you can appeal to such a wide swath of people is kind of by removing characteristic, right? Because you have your taste, I have my taste,
right.
And sometimes the only way to meet our two tastes are to remove a lot of the taste, and it's like it's blank in a way.
Right.
So I think over time, over the years, they stripped it down to where it's a very palatable, scientifically perfect liquid that you can rely on which is great. And that's that is a craft in and of itself. Craft brewers, I think they are, we are, brewing beers that hopefully appeal to a smaller group of people in a much richer way. So we're making something that hopefully you like a lot, and you might not like it. And I, you know, hopefully like it too. So, and I think what's happening now, and really that what is amazing about today is that the group of people that are identifying with these stronger flavors is widening and widening mm-hmm. and widening. And people that are coming of drinking age, they're growing up with it now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, their people are stealing their dad's beer, and it's Daisy Cutter. You know, it's kids. You know, that like, we are raising craft beer kids now.
Wow.
So
that's fascinating.
Yeah,
you are absolutely right. Gabriel Magliaro is the he is the founder of Half Acre here in Chicago. When we come back, let's talk about Chicago. You've had choices. You could have expanded. You looked at land in Pennsylvania. You came up on Colorado culture. But you chose Chicago, so we'll talk about that and why you stay here. Here on The Download, stay with us.
Because she likes the beer like I like the brew. Pump the pony keg, refilling my 22 with the ales, pilsner, lager, or the stout. Hops till the party stops, I make the people shout. Call the cops, call us pops, somebody carry him home. Royalty at Bevmo, my party well known. Got the full sale, wholesale, not to do well. Sometimes Charmaine, yelling like Timmy. Your fellas super stellar, keep it domestic. My big old flat tie, time to get reckless. Wherever I'm at, ayo, the party's right here. You like Ed Hardy, we like beer!
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest, Gabriel Magliaro. He's the founder of Half Acre Brewery here in Chicago, which just expanded on Balmoral and Damon. I guess it's Bowmanville, right? Is that what they call it?
It is Bowmanville.
Yeah, I know that area is great. Just north of Damon and Foster, they got the old scooter place, not a Vespa place anymore, but that's a fun little neighborhood back there, and you guys are adding to it. Chicago. You know, you always mentioned you came here for art school, but you grew up in Pennsylvania. You spent your formative years in Colorado. Why Chicago?
Yeah, it was never an intention of mine to actually stay here. But when looking at what it meant to start a brewery here, it was certainly very appealing. And for all the, you know, there's a ton of people here, and it is definitely a beer town. It wasn't a half acre town or even a craft beer town at that point in time, but people definitely identify with drinking beer in Chicago. So getting off the ground was sort of circumstance. We quickly realized that Chicagoans are above all passionate about Chicago, and they sort of opened their hearts and lives to what we were doing, and we were thoroughly embraced and continue to be today. So, you know, this Chicago owns Half Acre, really, and that's kind of how I look at it anyway. It's you know, sort of it belongs to Chicago, and I think our ambitions, you know, that's what we aim to be is a powerhouse Chicago brewery.
You know, the city of Chicago, the government entity, has come a long way in 2015. I mean, even in your time, you've seen antiquated laws that are on the books about alcohol. There's, like you said, there's a favoritism to distribution models that of the past, and laws on the books that, frankly, you know, are actually hindered craft beer being able to be produced here. Mm-hmm. How is your relationship with Chicago, and how, from that element, how has it grown?
It has changed dramatically. When we first got involved, there was so much gray area, and interpretation was like the key word of the time. Like, we interpret this law to mean this, and we would say, well, we interpret it to mean that. And there was some gray area, and we got a lot of things that rolled our way. And I think Chicago often, it gets a bad rap. It probably deserves it for a lot of things, but we have never been totally roadblocked by all that, you know, Chicago laws or Illinois laws. That has never been the thing that, you know, God, we would be doing so much better if. There have been some hurdles, and things are not easy, and they take time, and you have to work at it. But if you want to put forth the effort and you're reasonable in your hopes and what you hope to accomplish, you're good to go. So I think Chicago has been fair to Half Acre.
Let me ask you this on a personal note for you. Why do you like living here in Chicago, if you do? I mean, what is it about this town that you know,
I grew up in a rural area, and I probably personally identify with a rural area more than city living. But Chicago is home for me, and I think it's that familiarity, and it's a place that I've been since 2001. And so it's just, to me, it's the place that has offered me a lot of success, and I've been able to explore my adult life here. You know, I was 27 when we got Half Acre going, and it has allowed me to experience a lot, and all through the lens of this town. So I feel very fortunate that I'm able to exist here, and we have the two breweries, as you mentioned. My house is sort of in between the two of them, so I have like this triangle, this personal triangle, and so I kind of live in it in like a small town, and I bebop and forth around my little neighborhood, and it's very manageable. It's a very warm town, and there is so much happening here again that we can connect Half Acre to that. It makes it a real easy and pleasurable job.
Let me ask you this. I mean, can you foresee a future where Half Acre's not in Chicago?
Not really. Not in terms of moving it out of Chicago. I can see a future where we have things going on in other places. I mean, that sounds like we have things all over the place. I mean, I could see maybe one other thing somewhere else that allowed us a certain personal freedom to spend time differently or something like that. But
like a Half Acre in Key West.
Yeah, that's where I was born, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so that's where my family used to live. So probably not the Keys, but I could see something along those lines that was more about a personal interest than it was about what was best for us professionally. But I don't ever see removing the guts of Half Acre from this town.
Gabriel Magliaro. I said it both ways the whole hour. I apologize for that.
They both work. Fine.
He's the founder of Half Acre. Thanks for being my guest tonight at the Big Table.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.